Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook, / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter, at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and you're listening to The Kick-Ass Life Show with David Wood.
Kick ass.
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Well, hello. There I am. You know, I love listening to that song. Just, you may not know this. I may have told you already. Sometimes I forget what I say, right? But my kids are in there. That's that young voice you can hear. My 12-year-old Ben and Calvin and Jen's in there. It's awesome. It's awesome. Every time I hear it, I kind of feel inspired knowing that my kids are right there. This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood. Anyway, welcome. You know, this is great. I'm really excited about today because something just happened. I was away for the weekend, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute. When I came back, I thought, you know, we should check a few things out, see how things are going on this on the podcast, you know, and see where we're tracking because it's pretty new. And as of today, 61 countries are now listening to the Kick-Ass Life Podcast. 61, I'll tell you some of them. They're like crazy, like obviously, United States, of course, which has a commanding lead right now. Obviously, there's so many people there, but Canada and Australia, lots of Aussies. G'day, mate. How's it going? All right. And then the United Kingdom, depends where you're talking from. All right, mate. How's it going? All right. I know it sounds a little bit like Aussie, but it's really not. But yeah, welcome. UK, of course, I was born in the United Kingdom, so dear to my heart, that number is really climbing quite fast, which I'm really excited about because, you know, I left there a lot of years ago. Gosh, can you imagine? 51, I left there when I was 20, 31 years ago, and I feel like I'm only 30. You know, when I look in the mirror, it's not too old yet. You know, when you look in the mirror, you don't feel too old, but some days you wake up and you say, oh, yeah, who's that old guy looking back? Germany's doing well over there. So, ich kann ein bisschen in Deutsch sprechen, aber nicht so viel. Ich habe keine Schule gelernt, nur was ich habe gehört. Now, my German's really bad, but used to speak quite a bit years ago, thanks to my friend Iris, who helped me out there. I don't know if she's listening in, but if you are, hi, Iris, long time. Belize, really kicking up the charts. Belize is where I spend some time. We're actually just looking at buying a resort there. It's almost done, so I'll tell you about that. New Zealand. I love New Zealand. Spent a beautiful time in New Zealand and Queensland. I always said it was a great place to go and write in Queensland. Just this wonderful ambience there. But just sort of drove through the whole, you know, right through New Zealand, and it was just wonderful. It's wonderful. Shame what happened in Christchurch, but my heart goes out to all of you in Christchurch, you know, dealing with that. I know that's going to be years and years before the effects of that earthquake are behind you. But, you know, not lots of tremors there in just a beautiful, beautiful country. Great people, down to earth. Really, really kind. I just had a great trip there. Mexico's up there too, climbing the charts. Hola, ¿cómo está? yo hablo un poquito de español, pero again, yo tengo un falta con practicar. Yeah, my Spanish is a little rusty too. And ni hao ma, we're in China now. Look at that. United Arab Emirates. I wonder if I can remember. Kafalak mabsut min fatlik katiyani kawa. I haven't spoken Arabic for a lot of years. And Denmark, Hungary, Puerto Rico, Argentina, India. Wow, look at this. Costa Rica, Saudi Arabia, Japan, South Africa. I have some good friends there. Guy, I know you listen to this stuff. I see all the time. Guy and I had some great trips. And, you know, we used to be known. We were living in the south of Spain. His name's Guy Chasten. And I think you own a coffee shop now. We got to catch up, man. You got to give me a call. And his beautiful wife, Thurl. So a little shout out to South Africa, but I had such a great time there, and they live in Cape Town. But years and years, how I met Guy, I met him in the south of Spain. I was living in Estepona, in this little tiny town between Malaga and Gibraltar. And he brought over to Spain. He was living in England at the time, and he brought over to Spain these spices that I don't know if you remember these years and years and years ago. How old would I would have been about? Now, this has got to be 25 years ago, I suppose. And doesn't you sound old when you start saying stuff like that? Oh, this has got to be 25 years ago. Anyway, Guy's a big guy. Guy's a big guy. That sounds like a winner, doesn't it? Big chest, you know, water polo player. And big, handsome guy. Well, maybe not that handsome guy. But he imported these spices from England. And it was like spices, you know, you put them in you put your meat into a bag. And then you held the top and you shook it and it turned into liquid and so we went from the whole, I think we met at karate. We met in the same karate class. I think that's how we met. I can't remember now. And we traveled from Malaga to all the beach bars and all the restaurants selling his spices. And he had boxes and boxes and boxes. And in the end, we got this nickname, Salt and Pepper. And we always used to wear these, before it was fashionable, these pink shirts and orange shirts, you know, bright orange, pinks and pastel colors and light blues. And we were all like, you know, always in the sun. So we were all, you know, handsome and tanned. But our Spanish was pretty awful. And his Spanish was much worse than mine, if you remember, Guy. I know you're listening here. Here he is in Cape Town still, you know. And tengo la carne, pongo a la bolsa y... And he would be like, imagine a South African who doesn't speak a lot of Spanish selling spices to these Spanish beach bars. And some nights we would get these gigs where we would take over the bar. I'd run the bar. He'd run the kitchen. He's a great, great, great bar, you know, a grill chef. And we'd use our spices. It was a way of introducing their customers to our spices. And I say ours. I mean, I use that liberally. It was really his business. But just what a great time we had, you know, and we had so much fun. We'd run these bars and get to know different local people. And then we'd drive and he ended up buying me a Mini. My company car was this little blue Mini. I don't know if you remember that guy or not, this little tiny blue Mini. I don't know how old it was. A couple of things about that Mini that were really funny. One is I'm 6'3". He's got to be 6'3" or 6'4". Maybe he's a little shorter than that, but he's big. Here we are crammed into this Mini, driving up and down the coast of Spain. And I remember one time I used to work at a beach bar called the Casablanca Beach Bar, and I had this really old dirt road going down to it. And I remember screaming down there one day, and I hit a rock and I ripped off the bottom of my sump, so oil came out everywhere. And the guy that worked in or one of our customers there, Steve, he was a mechanic. He takes my car away for a couple of days, comes back, charges me. I don't know. I paid him. It wasn't very much. And I said, well, how'd you fix that? He said, araldite. I said, what? He said, araldite. You know, it's the glue, the really heavy glue. And he cleaned this thing with like thinners and he glued my car back together. And I swear, I drove that car for the rest of the time I was in Spain. And it was held together with glue, the sump where the oil goes in. And the other thing that was funny, when I left Spain, I left via sailing. I'll share those stories and sailing. And I remember my car got a boot on it, you know, because it was parked in the wrong place. And it's when he first came out with these boots. And the boot was worth more than my car by the time I left, so I just left it there. Anyway, so good call out to you, Guy, and Thurl, and your kids, and Misty, and all the others. And just say my love to you all. I had so much fun there when I was visiting in South Africa. We had a blast, and I'm sure I'll tell you lots of stories about that. In fact, Guy, it was really funny. I was telling a story about you today because someone drove past us in this old, I think it was a big old Ford pickup truck, and with a camper on the back. And you don't see any of those in South Africa. And Guy and I drove one from Cape Town up to Johannesburg, and we went to the Kruger National Park and Pilansberg National Park and these different things. And as we're going up there, we went to Pilansberg together. That's right. And then I went over to Kruger. And so as we went up there, I didn't see any other people driving this type of vehicle. But when I'm in the Kruger National Park, I I see a truck just like it with the same camper on the back. And this really fascinated me. So I wander over, and the Kruger National Park is one of the big wildlife reserves. You know, you're all fenced in at night, and there's lions and hippos and all these kinds of things out there. You know, it's like a real park. It's just like being in the on a safari, except at night you're safe. I continued on a safari on my own for months. I'll tell you that story another time too, where I didn't have the luxury of a fence around me, but it was a great trip. And anyway, I walk up to this guy and I said, "Hey," I said, "it's funny. I just drove up through country with a buddy of mine in a truck like that." And we get chatting, and I go back to my tent and bring a bottle of wine, and we start chatting longer. And he tells me he's from Kenya. And I used to own a restaurant and bar in High River, Alberta. And there was these two characters who were wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. One passed away, Brandon, and Pickles, this lovely, lovely lady who's eccentric and wonderful, grown up in Kenya. And Brandon was this joy. He'd walk into my restaurant. I used to own a restaurant and bar there. And he'd walk in, and it was just this amazing energy would come in with him. And Brandon, he with this big booming voice, you know. And so I was telling this guy in the Kruger National Park, I said, "Hey, I have two friends from Kenya." And it was one of those moments where you kind of feel like an idiot to say it. "Yo, you're from Kenya. Do you know Bob?" People do that to me all the time. "Oh, you're from England. Do you know Steve?" You know, and anyway, so I would have one of those moments where I could have said nothing, but I decided to say something. And I said, "Hey, you know, I've got two friends that grew up in Kenya." And I knew Kenya was a kind of a small colonial kind of town. And Brandon and Pickles Dancy. And because they have this really unusual name, I'm thinking, you know, what? And the guy looks at me, he goes, "Umbuzi." And I said, "What?" He says, "Umbuzi," which apparently is like Swahili or is an African language, probably not Swahili, but for goat, because he used to have a goatee and that was his nickname. And they were in the army together. So he invites me. We have a few bottles of wine that night, but he invites me to come back, and he actually owns his own game reserve. And so I end up spending some time out on his game reserve with him. And he had this crazy thing. He had these two pet elephants. Not pets, but they were two wild animals, wild elephants that had been reared. And they were still babies, so they were kind of like playful. And this lioness that he'd reared. He had a ridgeback, this big old dog, this ridgeback. So we go for a walk in the morning through a reserve with a pet lioness that would, I mean, this thing, you always have one eye over your shoulder and one eye looking around what's going on. And then, you know, these two elephants would run off and play, and he'd like take the dog for a walk with the lioness and the two elephants. I had this amazing, amazing time, and they had some amazing animals on that particular reserve. So yeah, it's a long story just to say hi to my buddy Guy. Iraq, how can Iraq be on there? That's awesome. And I'm guessing it's probably the troops out there doing some work that probably, or somebody who's speaking English, and we're seeing those numbers go up in Iraq. So, hey, just a hi and a shout out to Iraq. Hong Kong, I love spending time in Hong Kong. So I've got some great stories from Hong Kong, but we'll get there another day. I can't blow all my stories. We've got years doing this thing. We're not going anywhere. So, you know, Belgium, Macau, hey, who wants to do some gambling? Colombia, I love Colombia. Sweden, my Swedish. It really should be. My kids both speak Swedish. And my ex-wife, Pam, who's just an incredible woman, obviously is Swedish, and family's out there. So a little call out to Sweden. I love Sweden. We had so much fun there. And Pam's dad is just a cool Lars. And we'd had so much laughter. And that's what I love about being in Sweden. They have almost a British sense of humor. And, you know, it's so much fun. Philippines, Russia, Korea, Kuwait, Palestine territory. You know, I spent a year in Palestine, Israel. I mean, I'm going to call it both. I'm not taking sides on this call, but obviously the Palestine territory is its own territory within Israel. And it's just a beautiful, I loved, you know, some of the Palestine territory. Nablus was amazing, you know, in the Nablus glass, which is, which if you look at the West Bank and you look at Israel as a whole, I mean, it's just an incredible time in my life. Vietnam, Netherlands, Italy, Indonesia, where I'm heading soon. I'm going to Bali for 3 weeks, and I'm just excited. I'm going to be recording there, sending you little messages from Indonesia. We got Switzerland, Finland, Singapore, Egypt. Oh my goodness, Egypt! Now I must I must admit, I had a blast. Egypt was a big opener for me, a big heart opener, because it's where I started my real journey in Egypt. And so many stories from there. I'm not going to blow all those stories today. I'm just going through this list because it's so cool. Afghanistan. And again, that's probably the troops over there. Virgin Islands, the U.S. Virgin Islands. And one of my favorite stories from there is Richard Branson's island, Necker, which has really set a course for my own life. Brazil, Norway, Spain. I love Spain. I love Spain. That's where I learned Spanish. I studied in an old university in Salamanca. And it was just great. Taiwan, Ukraine, Poland. I wonder how my Polish is. Dziękuję, dzień dobry. Przepraszam, ja nie mówię, no mówię po polsku. Przepraszam. My friend Marek is not going to like my Polish there. I should have brushed it up before I started reading this list. Poland, Nicaragua, Morocco. I had so much fun in Morocco. I was there so many times. Guatemala. Got some great stories from Guatemala. I'm not going to blow them. St. Kitts and Nevis. Oh, I was just there last year. It was great diving. We had some good diving there with me and my buddy there, Jim and Tammy. Nice holiday we had together. Ireland. Top of the morning to you. I love the Irish. You got to love the Irish. So a little call out to Ireland, Austria, Jamaica, man. I love Jamaica. Trinidad, Tobago, Thailand, Peru, Cameroon, Jordan, Guam, and France. Oh, my goodness. How's that for a list? That's 61 countries as of just the first couple of weeks doing this. So that's exciting things. That's an exciting list. And for a guy that loves to travel and has traveled all over the world and who's continuing to travel over the world, obviously this excites me a lot. A lot. So what are we going to talk about? Well, this weekend, I had a great weekend. We got a little place down on the lake, me and my buddy Mike. You hear me talk about Mike all the time. He's like my business partner in real estate, but he's just one of my closest friends. And, you know, when you have a handshake and you buy properties, and we buy investment properties. And we started off with these like little tiny houses that we'd kind of go in and gut and rip them out and, you know, a lot of work. And then we got smart and we went up to duplexes and triplexes, and then we bought a small apartment building. Then we started to realize that it took as much work to look after one little house as it did to look after a lot of houses, you know. And, you know, we had one of these renters in one of our houses in Kelowna. We had one of these renters that every time we went around there, there was another story. Like, you know, things would happen to this guy. You know, he'd get mugged. You know, people would steal his cars. He was just like, every time he went around there, it was another calamity that hit the earth. And it always came to that house. It's like, if evil was going to creep into the planet and do something, it would always go to his house first and do something there, right? And, you know, he'd fall off his bike and knock his teeth out, or, you know. So every time we went and picked up the rent, and that's when we realized that we didn't want to pick up rent anymore. So, you know, started getting some bigger properties. So anyway, so we got this place out there, spent the weekend on the lake, Okanagan Lake, and just gorgeous. You know, we got these three little cabins and a little house, so there's kind of like enough room for friends to come out and enjoy. And I know I've talked about this once before, because last weekend we were out there as well, but watching the kids be kids for an entire weekend, and, you know, both my kids had friends out with them. Cal brought out a girlfriend of his, not a girlfriend they're dating, but just a friend who happens to be a girl, Savannah, who is just one cool lady. And Ben brings out his friend. And so we hang out there, and there's Mike and his family. But just sitting around the campfire, listening to these kids go off and goof around. We laughed. We sang songs. We told jokes. We played games for hours and hours, probably 3.5-4 hours. And we laughed. I mean, we were crying our eyes out. And then watching these kids fish in and swim in and everything. And you just realize how much fun it is just to throw kids outside with nothing to plug in and just let them go. And they went the whole time. And I remember driving away this morning at 6:30 a.m. I had to leave the lake. And just thinking, I don't think I nagged once. No nagging, which my parents, my children will tell you I do apparently professionally. Every time I ask them to do anything, of course, it's nagging. But yeah, just great to see, you know, chopping wood and wrestling and playing ball and fishing and all the other great things. So just a great, great weekend. And I really recommend, part of a kick-ass life is to get out and and take your kids, just take them to the woods, unplug them. You don't have to live on the lake. There's lots of places on the lake. There's lots of campsites on the lake. There's things you can do for absolute free if you don't have the budget. But just get outside and go do stuff. And, you know, sometimes it's easy to forget that because so many kids seem plugged in and they're either doing sports or they're plugged in. And just to go out there for no, to spend two or three days, no showers. We have showers out there. They just chose not to use them. And it's funny, when I met this little kid out there, Carter, we went for a walk one morning, Jen and I, and we bumped into this kid. He's just fishing, 12-year-old kid. And I sent a tout. I don't know if you know what a tout is, but I'm really excited about this touting thing because I just started tweeting. Tweet, tweet, tweet. That's me. Tweeting. Tweet, tweet. Crazy thing. I just thought, what is a tweet? You send these little messages out and there's millions of them and I don't even know how to read them. But apparently it's a good thing to do. And, you know, when you're doing this kind of thing and you want to get a message out there is to tweet to people and tell them what you're up to and share a part of what you're up to because some people are busy in their offices and, you know, they can plug into some stuff. But touting is when you send a little video. It's a 15-second video. And so I sent a lot on this trip. You know, we were singing songs, driving to the lake and, you know, goofing around. And then, you know, I met Carter and he's fishing there one morning. And he did a little promo for the Kick-Ass Life. He says he's been fishing his whole life. And just watching this little kid out there all on his own, you know, on a lake. There's no one about, just fishing, enjoying it. And he loved it. And you could just tell. He talked about his brother who was 14. Yeah, my brother doesn't like to go outside. Sounds like a lot of kids today, eh? So just a wonderful thing with this touting. So if you see my tweet on the Kick-Ass Life, I think it's the Kick-Ass Life with David Wood, but you can put the Kick-Ass, the. Remember, it's the, because your Kick-Ass Life isn't me. A Kick-Ass Life, that's not me either. Kick-Ass Life isn't me. It's the, T-H-E, the Kick-Ass Life. And see some of these touts, because what's great is like we were out in the boat and the kids were diving in, and you could just say something and bring people to the experience. So when I'm in Indonesia in a couple of weeks, I can do these touts right from these awesomely cool places and really show people what's going on and they can get a real sense of it as opposed to attempting to describe it in what, 9 words or whatever you get, 400 characters. So anyway, lots going on. So the touting's going well. Obviously the podcast is going through the roof. It's crazy. And we haven't really told anyone yet. So you can help out if you want, go tell people. We've got some stuff coming up as well that I want to share with you. This idea of, the Kick-Ass Life Academy, I think we're going to call it. We may not call it that. We may ask you to help us with the name. But I want to come out with this 12-month program where, you know, I spend a couple of hours with you every month and help you through certain things, working on certain areas of your life to really create a kick-ass life. And whether it could be money, you know, and we're bringing an expert as well with us. Different from the podcast, this will be stuff, really accountable stuff that you can actually go to work on, put your teeth into. And as opposed to just listen, this will be part of a program with those people who are committed to creating a kick-ass life. And this will be, each month will be a different theme. We'll work on it. We're going to create some really cool things around it. So we're just brainstorming that right now. That's going to be coming out. And, you know, there's so many areas we can work on. And so I'm really excited about that. That's going to be coming up soon. And then the Kick-Ass Life Adventure Club. My buddy, Mike Dooley, I'm going to actually be speaking to him this week. He's going to be on this show. Mike Dooley from The Secret. Him and I are like brothers from another mother. We just hit it off the first time we've met, and we've played together in Hawaii. We played together in New Orleans, and, you know, we talk to each other quite often. He's just a super, super guy. And he has an adventure club, and, you know, I think he just took 83 people to Peru. Now, I don't think I'm going to be doing groups that size, not because I don't want to do big groups. It's just I think we'd have more fun. This would be like some really serious adventure stuff as well. But, you know, we're going to lay down a time and a place next year. And if you want to come along and play, come traveling with me, this is going to be a different kind of experience. So we'll have something going on. And so keep your eyes open for that. And talk to us. Come to me on Facebook, The Kick-Ass Life, The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood on Facebook. And leave me some comments, thoughts, ideas. You know, let's do this together. Whatever you want, we can build. Build it and they will come. Build it and they will come. I haven't even got to what I'm going to talk about today. Look at that. Look at this. I think we're 24 minutes in. I've just been babbling on, sharing all these countries. Hopefully you're enjoying it, because that's what I feel like. I do all this work with people when I'm interviewing them, but sometimes I just get to babble. I'm a babbler. Here I go. So there's a couple of things coming up. And here's the thing. I was going to give you a kind of a tip that I one of my 8 most favorite words: tell the truth all the time with compassion. Now, I got to say, it took me my whole life to get truthful, because I was never very truthful. I lied all the time. And not that I meant to lie, but I was a prover as well. So, I grew up, I didn't want people to know the truth. I was a little afraid of the truth. So I decided that lying was easy. I don't think I even consciously decided. And of course, growing up in my house, we were told by mom, and you're probably listening too, mom. Hello, mother. Little call out to mother. And my sister, Melody. I know she's listening in from England. Hi, Melody. Thanks for your comment this week. I heard it through mother. So anyway, this idea then that little white lies were okay. And what I realized much later in life, that the courage to actually tell the truth to someone, the whole truth and nothing but the truth with compassion, is actually an art form that, when practiced, is, I think, one of the great foundations for a kick-ass life. Because if you can never have to lie and you can always tell the truth and you understand compassion, what compassionate truth means, which we'll work on, because I know it's a big, big subject. And a lot of people lie every time they go to work, just because they don't want to show up as they are. It's right. It's easier to put a mask on and pretend you're someone else and sort of hide away and be someone all day than it is to actually remove the mask and show up as you are with all your idiosyncrasies, the way you are with your best girlfriend or best guy friend. But here's some interesting facts, which people, maybe you don't know, but 12% of adults admit to telling lies sometimes or often. That's 12%. Now, you know that the rest of them are lying. They say that the profession with the highest amount of liars in it is teaching. And I can imagine that, right? Because you're around kids and you don't want them to know the truth, so it's easier. And that's crazy, isn't it? How do kids learn to lie? You tell the truth. That's all you got to do. But I learned to lie at school as well. So with 65% of teachers admitting to telling lies, and a surprising 18% telling the surveys that they tell lies routinely. Now, here's interesting. They say that there's an honest time of day and a dishonest time of day. And the most dishonest time of day is apparently between 9 and 9:30 in the evening. Honey, the food was awesome. You're a great cook. No, I'm sure it's worse than that. But that's the most dishonest time. I don't know why. I can't tell you why. I'm just telling you what the surveys showed, right? Survey says 9 to 9:30 in the evening is the time when most people lie, with the early hours of the morning being most likely to reveal the truth. Now, here's for my people around the world. Who do you think is the country that tells the least amount of lies, the most honest country in the world? Ready, ladies and gentlemen? Boom, 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 boom. That's my drum roll on my desk there. Australia. Australians, that's because they say as it is, mate. They're not out to please you. Just tell them as they are. So that's something great. Aussies up there, number one. Now, that can obviously, people say they can come across as a little brash. I don't think so. I love the Aussies. I love Australia, mate. I always say if I wasn't living in Canada, I'd probably live in Australia. And I have a lot of, I'm back there in October. I can't wait to be back in Australia again. But who's second? Norwegians? The Swedes, I can get that because I was married to a Swede, and I have never heard a lie come out of my ex-wife's mouth. I say that. And I remember she only ever did one thing wrong, she told me. She bent some number plates in a parking lot one time, and that was kind of the extent of her villainy. There's me stealing cars, breaking into houses, all these bad things, and she felt bad about it for years. So yeah, I get that. Belgians are up there as well as the non-liars. On the other hand, closer to home, the Welsh contingent, I know we have people in Wales, are the highest percentage of liars with a 93%. And the lowest percentage of people who actually admitted to being economical with the truth, a mere 1%. So when asked the question, are you a liar? Nearly 97% of people answer no, when the remaining 3% self-confessed liars are subjected to questions calibrating their real rather than perceived honesty, they turn out to be on average 28 times more honest than the people who claim that they never lied. Interesting, eh? You may have got lost on that whole thing because I read that piece. The rest of it, I was kind of just sort of telling you. So anyway, that's interesting. So the Welsh, you know, stop lying over there. You know, the beautiful, that's another beautiful part of the world. So telling the truth all the time with compassion, very, very, very important. So the most prolific liar in history was U.S. President Richard Nixon, who researchers found to have lied a record 837 times on a single day. What was he thinking? That's nuts. 837 times on a single day. I think even when I was at my worst, I don't think I ever got that high. But who knows? So there you go. That's some of the facts about lying. But really what I found is what's really the facts about telling the truth? And what I found is the freedom that I feel with truth is remarkable. There's this deep yearning for me when faced with the opportunity to tell a lie, and even a small lie, or to tell the truth. There's this immense power that wells up within me now when I feel it. I feel that there's a need to tell the truth. There's a need to fess up. Now, I'm not saying that I don't exaggerate sometimes, because I do. I see the world through these very, very bright colored lenses on my head. So there's this way of seeing the world that maybe is quite, quite bold in its statement. So yeah, do I exaggerate? Yeah. That's not what I'm talking about though. I'm talking about really, you know, when there's a need to tell the truth. And what I've learned is asking permission and being compassionate are two different things, because sometimes people aren't ready for the truth. But what I found was when I tell the truth, just incredible things happen. And my relationships with those people really, really blossom. And that's happened with me with a number of people over the years where I didn't like them at some point. There's people I didn't like because of the way they treated me, especially when I started training. There was one guy in particular. We're friends now. I hope you're listening to this, Barry. I won't say what I called him, but years later, he was kind of ahead of me in the whole training world. And I, by the way, I love this guy now, but at the time, just the way he treated me, I didn't like it. And so I sat down and said, can I have your permission to tell you the truth? And I told him how I felt, and I told him what he did to make me feel the way that I felt. And like every single time I've told people the truth, when they've given me permission, almost they're like, really? I had no idea. And then this relationship develops. Or, I mean, it's never happened to me, but I'm sure it will one day. Someone says, "Whoa, you're an idiot, get out of here." But there's that need to tell the truth. And the thing I've learned about telling the truth, which is, it started off when I wanted to talk to my own family sometime and tell them my own truths from growing up. And instead of holding on to anything, I did all this forgiveness stuff early on where I wanted to forgive people in my life. And now I practice this thing called immediate forgiveness. And don't hold on to stuff, because, you know, there's a saying or a stat that shows that if you hold on to anger, or there's a saying, I'm sorry, that if you hold on to anger or judgment or hatred, that it's like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. But, you know, what I learned this from a lady who said to me, she says, you know, you just got to go and tell the truth to people. You got to stop lying. And she sort of saw the lie I was trapped in. And this was probably in 88. Not that long ago. I'm a new truth teller. And she said that, you know, when you tell the truth to people, never expect them to say anything like they admit to it or even they're sorry or anything. Just tell the truth. And it's like taking the energy from within me and giving it to them. And they have it now. What they do with it is up to them. They at least know now. And I know it's been said, so I don't have to worry about it anymore. And that was the greatest piece of advice I ever got, was, you know, telling this truth without having this need for an outcome, but just telling the truth. And then all the other times, you know, when it's easy to make something up, let's say that, you know, you're late for work and you could have said, oh, you know, something happened. Instead of saying that, say, hey, I slept in. There's a power, and you feel it. When you feel it, when you just tell the truth. And people, I've noticed people often are quite shocked by the truth. Well, even listening to some of these stats, you'll see why so many people tell these lies on a constant basis. Don't want to hurt people's feelings, et cetera, et cetera. So my big call for this call is to tell the truth all the time with compassion, knowing that when we do, we sort of liberate not only ourselves, but others. And really, if, imagine everyone starts telling the truth. That's when the mask can come off. You know, it's like someone says, hey, would you like to come for dinner? And you say, no. You know, you don't have to say quite like that, no. But the fact you can say no without having to give an explanation, without having to make something up, without feeling bad about it. Actually, no, it's not going to work right now. Thanks. I really appreciate it. Right? Just being able to tell the truth instead of going into that sort of lie. And when I think of some of the lies I've told, oh my goodness, some were just scorches. And then you get trapped in this loophole of where does the lie stop? It never stops, right? So those of you out there that are in the statistics of the 12%, or some of you teachers out there who are teaching our kids, maybe this is the week where you can go out there and you can start telling the truth all the time with compassion, knowing that it's going to make the world just a much nicer place. And, you know, when you live a kick-ass life, guess what? People who live kick-ass lives, we tell the truth. Why? Because it sets us free and just opens up doors, opens up moments, creates deeper relationships. We have more fun. And sometimes there's a little shock factor, which you just can't help. So I'm just telling you, it's been great hanging out. Don't forget, The Kick-Ass Life, thekickasslife.com. See you there, and check out what's going on.
That was Kick-Ass.